to Leadership Everywhere, the podcast on leadership in the 21st century. To ask questions and search for answers is a central aspect of our humanity. This is a creative act. In this podcast, I ask questions about leadership and explore them with you. By asking questions, I want to stimulate your imagination and create new images of leadership. This is episode 1, Old and New Role Models. Today's episode is about the tremendous impact of leadership on motivation, performance, and success. In this episode, we look at different leadership models and the self-image of leaders. What do we need in our complex, uncertain world? How must the self-image of leaders change in order to remain successful in the future? How can you shape your own role as a leader? Let me start with the first reflection. How do you currently experience leadership? Many companies follow the traditional model of the hierarchical organization. Even though cross-functional teams are becoming more and more the norm, formal leadership remains in the hierarchy. And this leadership model has clear characteristics. It's bound to a position with formal authority, based on top-down orders, control, and conditioning. In common understanding, people get into a leadership position because they are more experienced, more competent, and more assertive than the others. This shapes the role of the traditional boss and creates an image of superiority. As a boss, you have to know everything better than the others. In order to be considered assertive, you must not allow different opinions or contradictions. It's my way or the highway. The need to keep everything under close control often leads to micromanagement. Every action must be approved in advance and is monitored. Networking and cooperation among colleagues from other departments is often viewed with skepticism. You are no longer in control of your employees, and this could endanger your own position. I say this without any judgment. Leaders and managers from the baby boomer generation, in particular, have been socialized and conditioned precisely in line with this role model. Of course, we know the collateral damage of the traditional model. For example, burnt-out managers, bad or slow decisions, frustrated employees, high employee turnover, manipulation, even narcissistic delusion. The damages for corporations can be exorbitant. The newspaper archives are full of such stories. Is that the only way? Does this model even fit into today's world, where new knowledge is constantly emerging and organizations fight for the best talent? We know from various studies that only about 1/3 of the employees describe themselves as highly motivated. Salary plays, of course, a role, but not necessarily the biggest. I also know this from my coaching practice. The topic of how to get a salary increase is much less common than frustration, lack of prospects, conflicts at work, etc. So what prevents people from going to work fully committed and motivated? Let's take a quick look at why really good employees quit. What do you think are the most important reasons? Recently, I saw such a list from a German career consultancy. These are the top three. Number one, lack of appreciation. The commitment, the extra mile that motivated employees go, is often simply ignored. There is not even a thank you. Number two, lack of integrity, injustice, incompetence, dishonesty. Superiors who hump up, step down. Number three, lack of development opportunities, boredom and under-challenge. There's not only burnout, there's also bore out. What is noticeable, and you probably noticed it immediately, is that all three have to do with the attitude of managers. Yes, dear listeners, The best employees often do not leave their company, but their manager. How about if it were really good? When you like to go to work, have the feeling to do something useful, work in a fully motivated team? Do we have to abolish the hierarchies and fire the managers? Organizations are becoming flatter almost everywhere. New forms, such as network organizations, are emerging, and this makes leadership more informal. But we need leaders. For most people, it's important to have someone they can turn to, someone who gives orientation and, if necessary, leads the way. Google has done an interesting experiment. The Oxygen Project, launched in 2002, aimed at creating an organization without hierarchies, and thus prove that managers are absolutely overrated, maybe even superfluous for an innovative high-tech company. The experiment went hopelessly wrong. The employees saw themselves without a manager or contact person. It's not about abolishing the bosses, but about a new understanding of leadership, a different mindset. Namely, one that encourages and provides support, one that trusts employees to do their jobs, and in some areas enable them to even become better than the former superior. In other words, an attitude that allows for leadership everywhere, no matter what hierarchical level someone is at. "Pooh, sounds great," a mentee recently said to me. "But what happens to me then? What do I do as a manager?" Let me tell you a little story. Some 15 years ago, I was chief operating officer of an international organization and had a CEO whose goal was to make himself obsolete. That was a challenge. Because he considered everyone capable of choosing the best possible way to achieve the set goals or to find the right solutions for their own area. It was not him who appeared to present ideas or solutions. No, it was the respective employees themselves. That changed my organization profoundly. Employees teamed up, initiated projects, gained knowledge and input from the whole organization. There was no attendance recording, and those who needed a quiet surrounding for certain tasks or had family obligations could easily work from home. Everyone took responsibility for delivering results. That was about 15 years ago, long before concepts such as autonomous teams, agile management, etc., came to the forefront. This created a flexible and powerful organization and laid the foundation for rapid growth. Mistakes have also happened. Especially the young managers were partly overstrained in their autonomy. Some of them would have wished and needed more support and guidance and attention in order to develop self-confidence. Praise and recognition give wings. At the same time, praise is only productive and credible when also problems and development needs are openly addressed. Clear words and orientation are incredibly important. Think about this for a moment. There's also a need for good role models, leaders who give colleagues the opportunity to observe them and learn new behaviors. On my website, you will find 20 guiding principles for good leadership that summarize what I have observed, learned, and applied throughout my career. There are many tasks for leaders that have nothing to do with the traditional model of command and control. Do you already have a vision of your own role as a leader? You may know the quote from Steve Jobs: "It doesn't make sense to hire smart people and then tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they tell us what we can do." The magic word is empowerment. People grow when you believe in them. Have you ever considered that each of us is responsible for making far-reaching decisions? For example, buying a house or a car, taking out a loan, raising children, doing volunteer work, etc. Why should the same people not be able to do big things at work? Empowerment enables a sense of achievement that is both motivating and encouraging. As a leader, you can empower and trust as much as possible and order and control as little as possible. Mind you, people are different and so is their need for autonomy and self-responsibility. Good leaders take this into account and pick people up where they are. You can give structure and guidance as long as it's necessary and desired, and as much freedom as possible for those who want to fly. But how can you find the right balance? Just ask. I have a few good and tested questions for you. You can ask them in a one-on-one meeting or include them in a performance conversation. You can ask, what should I do more of? What should I do less of? On which occasion did you feel particularly well supported? Where would you have needed more support from me? Depending on your communication culture, it also works with the whole team. Just ask them what gets on your nerves. You will be amazed at some of the answers. You find strong employees where you find daring leaders. How do you become a daring leader? Maybe you remember the model of the 5 leadership attitudes from the previous episode and how I described daring. It is about the courage to be open and the willingness to learn. It is about creating opportunities for people to have great ideas and feel safe to come forward. This generates an incredible amount of creative energy. Even more, it gives you purpose and strengthens your own motivation. And it strengthens your own development when you not only allow, but also encourage critical and open discussions, even if someone proves you wrong. The good news is, you can learn that. Leaders need a mirror to reflect on their own role and a change of perspective to draw the right conclusions from what they see. They also need the external view, because you cannot recognize your blind spots yourself. Coaching and mentoring are naturally part of a good leadership culture, and even more so, of good corporate governance. Perhaps now you will say, that all sounds great, but what should I and the few people in my team do? Our corporate culture is completely different. Don't worry. System theory has proven that a small cog can change a large gear train. Start with yourself. Take one step at a time. Even if they are only small steps and there are setbacks. Developing a different mindset takes time, and corporate cultures change slowly. Find allies in your company, colleagues who share your ideas and are willing to try new ways. That strengthens each and every one of you. And finally, it may not work. That you are simply in the wrong company or in the wrong role. That maybe there is something else for you. Then it is time to take a different path yourself. Put yourself in the driver's seat. To wind it up, now my last question. What could the self-image of a leader in the 21st century look like? Here's my proposal. Leaders in the 21st century do not measure their self-worth by their formal authority or the number of, quotation marks, subordinates, or by what has to go through them for approval. Rather, they measure their ability to foster leadership everywhere for the success of their organization. Lao Tse, 600 years before Christ, put it this way. The best leader is the one whose existence is not even noticed. When the work of the best leader is done, people say, "We did that ourselves." Good leaders meet their colleagues at equal footing. They see employees neither as immature children who need to be cared for and protected, nor as beings who need to be controlled, manipulated, or kept at a distance. Leaders invest in personal growth and trust. They empower and integrate because the greatest success comes from the best possible interplay of the people. And by the way, that's also what makes the most fun. What do you think about it? You will hear from me again in 2 weeks. The next episode will deal with topics that are often taboo: loneliness, vulnerability, and overload in leadership positions. I'm looking forward to your suggestions, feedback, objections, and questions. You will find further information and my contact details in the show notes. My articles, blog posts, and tips can be found on my website www.abado-coaching.com. And now a little bonbon to take with you. Don't spend your time looking for an obstacle. Perhaps there is none. Franz Kafka. Keep well and stay tuned. Yours, Gabriela Abado.